Hello and welcome to season 8, episode 5 of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. I'm Becca, and this is a podcast that features members of the Virtual Coffee community. Virtual Coffee is an intimate community of people at all stages of their tech journey, and they're here on this podcast sharing their stories and what they've learned. And we're here to share it with you. Here with me today is my co-host, Dan.
Yo, what up, Beck? How's it going?
It is going fantastic. How's nice. It going with you?
It's going great. We have another great episode for y'all. We are sitting down with Reda. Reda's a front-end developer from Morocco, and we had a really great time talking to him. He actually started his career in marine mechanics, which is pretty interesting, and during the pandemic, decided to switch tracks into web development and front-end development in general. And it was a really good time sitting talking with him. We learned a lot about his story, and I don't know, he's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, it was really fascinating to hear. Like, he had completed all of the stuff that he needed for the marine mechanics degree. And then after completing that, decided to go into coding and did the whole self-taught route. And what that journey was like for him and finding a job, you know, I think that it's really fascinating to see that career pivot happening right at the pandemic and then that journey to find the first job.
Yeah, totally. And he's one of the fewer people I've talked to recently who is self-taught, but didn't go the bootcamp route, right? He followed Free Code Camp and a lot of just self-guided things. And I don't know, it's really great hearing from somebody who kind of did the self-driving, you know, education route. And
yeah, the importance of community as part of that, right? Like, he talked a lot about Virtual Coffee being a part of that, Free Code Camp, Collab Lab, and all of the ups and downs that you have as a self-taught learner and how important it is to have community as part of that. So I felt like this really captured the essence of Virtual Coffee and what we're trying to do here.
Absolutely.
We start every episode of the podcast like we start every Virtual Coffee. We introduce ourselves with our name, where we're from, what we do, and a random check-in question. We hope you enjoy this episode. Our random check-in question today is, what is your third space? So the space where you feel like you belong, something that's not home or school. I'll give you a second to think about that while I do my intro. My name is Becca. I am developer experience lead at OpenSauce. I'm from a small town in Ohio. And my third space, I feel like the woods is a good place. It's like the woods or the library, because those have always been places that I've loved since I was a kid. And I could just go like hike or explore or sit and read a book for hours. And those have always been like very comforting spaces for me.
Nice. Yeah. Hi, I'm Dan. I do front end development or whatever, full stack development. I don't know. I made a decision earlier to just say I do full stack, even though I don't like that phrase, but it is more accurate to what I do. So anyway, Cleveland area. And I'd say the woods in general as well. Maybe specifically, like, we have my family has a cabin out in Pennsylvania. But I'm really comfortable in anywhere I have a backpack on, and you know, maybe my tent with me. The woods are good for like all the reasons you said, honestly. And exploring, especially, is one of my favorite things to do. So yeah, and so introducing our guest, Reda, go ahead.
I am Reda. I am a front end developer based in Morocco, and my third place is, I think I'll go with the sea. Back in college, I used to have this coffee shop. It's like in front of the beach, to be more accurate. And I used to hang out there a lot. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. Love it. Well, thanks so much, Reda, for being here with us today. We're happy to have you on the podcast. I like went Midwestern, yeah. The podcast. I'm from Eastern Ohio. We don't say it like that here. I apologize. And we always like to get started with your origin story. So I know that you have a really fascinating one. So why don't you let us know like what you were doing before you came into tech and what the journey was like to getting your first job?
Yeah, sure. I was in the marine mechanics field. So like I used to go for in the fishing ships, but I didn't really like start working. I just had training there. But like my education was focused on that, on the marine mechanics. So during my graduation, the pandemic hit. So yeah, it hit when I was preparing for my final projects for the graduation. My final project was kind of like related to programming. Not really, but I had some parts of the programming in it. It was kind of like a black box to me. I didn't really like, how can I say that? I wasn't really working on the programming part, but I was curious about it. So I was doing some like simulation with MATLAB. I don't know if you ever heard of that. It's like a software for simulation, but it has some stuff like with programming in it, but I didn't really touch it. I was just copy paste the code and work with it. Also, I had some classes like in the some classes back in college related to basic algorithms and if I remember good, C++, and I really liked them. So from there it started like my passion too and like my interest in programming. So after graduation, I hadn't really a lot to do because the pandemic, I'm stuck at home, there's nothing I can do. So I started like searching about these things that it was like just a black box for me. I started with machine learning, which is kind of like weird. I don't know. I was just looking for something to start with, you know. And one course on Coursera has MATLAB and also like this stuff. So I just started with machine learning. After that, machine learning, like in that course, they were using MATLAB, but they, after finishing the course, they said that like Python is much better. And if you want to like learn more about this stuff, you should like go with Python. So I started Python after machine learning, even though I didn't really do anything with machine learning. It was just like out of curiosity, just like how things work. I started that course on like Python for Everybody on Coursera. It was really good, and the teacher is really like amazing. The most like I can't remember the name. I think Dr. Chuck. I can't remember the name. Anyway, but the course is like Python for Everybody. It was really amazing. But after I finished that course, I really didn't know what to do with it. So I have the knowledge, I have the basic knowledge, but I have no idea what to do with it. Because like Python is more for backend, and it wasn't any visual like feedback for me. And I'm more like a visual person. So I started like to search for something like that has more interactivity. So I do something and I see the results in front of me. So more like a visual feedback, as I said. And during my search, I was mainly searching for free stuff because I wasn't working. I was totally relying on my parents. So yeah. And I found FreeCodeCamp. So FreeCodeCamp, and from there, the real journey started. So just like the first challenge in FreeCodeCamp, you just do like small challenge and you see the result in front of you like in the same moment. And that was amazing. It was like, oh, wow, I did something, you know, even though I spent maybe 3 months on the specialization of Python, I never felt the same when I saw the results in front of me, like in the same moment. Yeah. So I finished FreeCodeCamp. And after that, I just was, I was just like building projects until I got into the Colab Lab. And after the Colab Lab, I got like my job directly after that, like after finishing Collab Lab. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much. It's such an interesting story to hear that. And that process of where you were in university and what brought you to here. I'm curious, what kind of projects were you working on in between the end of Free Code Camp and Collab Lab?
Yeah, I was mainly doing like the Free Code Camp projects, because the problem was in Free Code Camp. It's not a problem, but it's just more of like the hard part on Free Code Camp is all the learning is text based, you know. So it was kind of like hard to understand some parts. So I was like going to look on YouTube and on different blog posts and so on, and like keep like revising what I was doing before, and then I back to the projects on the Free Code Camp. So I did the projects on Free Code Camp, and then I was looking for like projects on YouTube, projects on, you know, but that's tutorial hell. So. Yeah, it was pretty much hard to get out of it. It's the hardest part was when you just look at the screen and you don't know like from where to start. But the built-in projects in Free Code Camp were pretty much like they give you the what you have to do, you know, like steps. They don't give you like what you have to do, but what you are supposed to do. So like the steps of the process. So my projects mainly were Free Code Camp projects, plus some YouTube tutorials and so on. And then I was like trying to improve the projects I worked on. So that's what I was doing. I was like going in some areas that I didn't touch during Free Code Camp, like testing, accessibility, and so on. Accessibility was covered in Free Code Camp, but testing wasn't. And I also was feeling like the gaps, because I did, you can say it's one of my mistakes when I was learning, is that I was trying to be fast, to be like, just finish this and go on. And that like left like some gaps in the fundamentals. So yeah, projects will help you fill out that kind of gaps. I think I didn't really answer your question, but yeah.
I think you definitely answered the question. And I think that's really important, that idea of going through too fast and having those learning gaps. And I think that I went to boot camp and it took me a year, but I was working at a slower pace, and I still think it was a little bit too fast for me too. And I had done a full stack program after doing a portion of Free Code Camp. And there was just so much material to get through in that time period. But I was like ready to move on to the next phase of my life, right? Like ready to get a job. And I remember thinking afterwards, like, oh, once I get done with this, it's going to be easy. And like, I don't know why I thought that, but then you start your first job, you're like, oh, that was the easy part. And now I've hit the hard part. And I don't know if that resonates with you or your experience in Collab Lab maybe filled in some of those gaps and helped with that. But I'm curious if you had any of that experience too.
Yeah. During the Collab Lab, I learned a lot. Like mainly I learned how to collaborate, because being a self-taught developer, you are working by yourself, like 100% by yourself. So you don't know how to use, like, not really how to use GitHub, but how to use some features of GitHub. So you don't know how to open a pull request. You don't know how to fix conflicts. You don't know how, yeah, you got me. So yeah, actually like the virtual coffee, like Hacktoberfest challenge already helped me with GitHub. Like I got familiar with GitHub a little bit and I make some contribution, but it's different on the Collab Lab, because you are working like for over 2 months, you are collaborating with 3 people, and you have mentors also, like they are helping you.
What you said also really resonated with me, because I went to a boot camp, but it was self-paced, so I wasn't working with other people either. And I remember, for anybody that doesn't know, Dan was the first person to hire me out of boot camp. And we were like going through all of this stuff. And actually, it was 4 years ago. I think I started July 1st. Side note. But
long ago.
I remember he was walking me through it. He was like, yeah, you just work through the issue. And then when you're done, you create a pull request. And I was like, okay, and I know what a pull request is. I've done that once or twice. But like now I'm like, okay, that seems like something that's really basic. But even in boot camp, I was working on my own projects. And so I wasn't making pull requests. So when I built my first website, it was my blogs, okay? And so I'm writing these blogs, but I didn't even know that you could run it locally. And so I was just like pushing everything live and then looking at it, seeing what worked and what didn't, and then like recommitting. Actually, all that commit history is still there. So anybody can go and see what what that process was like. It's a lot of like the basics, what I would see now as basics of writing commit messages, committing frequently, running things locally to test it before it goes live, and pull requests. Like none of that stuff was natural to me after that experience, or really emphasized as part of the process. And you were talking about Free Code Camp because you're not really making pull requests there. And even when I did the projects, I was doing them in CodePen. And so there's not branches or any concept of that kind of stuff. And that's integral to being able to work as part of a team.
Yeah, I had this funny, like the same issue. It's funny because I was working most of my projects like in Free Bootcamp at first, like on CodePen. So after like the first time I wanted to like do my project locally, I didn't know how to do it. So yeah, that's also part of like feeling the gap. It's the very, very over the basics, but it's hard when you are a self-taught. You just don't know where to go. It's like you don't have a plan, you know. Free Bootcamp make it easier, but still there are some gaps. There are some gaps that you just don't know. Like you don't even know them to fix them, you know.
Right.
But yeah, but when you are like interacting with other people. So here it comes the role of communities and Collab, virtual coffee. When you are interacting with people, you see their problems, you see what they are doing, and you're learning from them, and you got some guidance.
Yeah, I feel like I also formed some bad habits during that time period because I was just working by myself. And so I didn't know that there were other ways of doing things. And that was also something that I had to kind of navigate and work through. And I don't know if you had that experience as well.
Yeah. The same here. It was a lot of things that you do. For example, I didn't even know that you can fork a repo, you know? So it was like, if I wanted to do something with a repo, I would just try to push directly to it. It doesn't matter if it's mine or if it's someone's projects. So yeah. It's also like when you are coding, you don't know if what you are doing is the right way, you know, or if it's the best way, and so on.
Yeah, totally. There's so many valuable aspects of having, you know, working together on a team with some people, even if you're, or just having extra eyes on it, right? Right. Like you're saying, you just don't know. You can hope that whatever you're doing is the best way, you know, but having extra people, it's just always so valuable. And as far as, you know, some of the open source stuff, you know, like forking, right? Like I have been working on GitHub in my like small team for work for years before I ever forked any repositories, right? Because if you're in an organization, you don't need necessarily to fork, you know, create your own forks. You just create branches and do that stuff. So I was comfortable with that, but I had not like ever done, that whole flow, right? Until, I mean, I think I'd done it a little bit before Virtual Coffee, but really, you know, actually understood it much better once we got into Virtual Coffee and started doing some of those open source contributions. And yeah, there's just when you're by yourself as a solo person, it can be fun and it can be interesting. But yeah, I always had that sense sure there's something missing. I'm sure there's some, you know, some pieces that I'm not seeing or whatever. And it's just so nice to be able to have other people like hanging around and you know, working together on things.
Yeah. I think that the first repo I forked was a virtual coffee like repo. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Well, that's one of the reasons why our documentation for virtual coffee to contribute is very thorough. Like maybe it's a little bit too thorough, I'm not sure, but because a lot of the people that are contributing are in the same situation that we have both been in, where we don't have that experience of forking or what is a commit, how do you create a branch, and just to make sure that we're able to support those people as part of that process and decrease the friction for people to be able to contribute, I think is really important. And the same thing goes for people who have been working for years, but like Dan said, they don't have to fork anything. I just taught an intro to open source workshop a couple of weeks ago, and I had to talk about forking a repository. And so I like went through and I practiced, because I honestly don't know when the last time I had to fork a repository was. And it is those little things that become really important. And so I wanted to know, this is like my very long-winded way of saying, you talked about this open source experience that you had and you participated in Hacktoberfest. You're rocking your Hacktoberfest shirt today, which is awesome. But can you talk a little bit about where that was at in your journey and what kinds of things that you were able to accomplish during that Hacktoberfest?
Yeah, sure. It's actually was like after finishing like frequent camp. It's I was in this is like just like a side story. It's not like really answering the question. So I was pretty much desperate after finishing frequent camp. I had HTML, CSS knowledge, basic knowledge. I had JavaScript knowledge, but I didn't know how to connect like between them. I had no idea how, okay, there is HTML, CSS, there is JavaScript, but I had no idea how to use both of them. And on FreeCodeCamp, it wasn't there anything also, you know? So after JavaScript, there is directly React, actually front-end libraries. So I was lost. I was totally lost. I was desperate, and at that moment, I was actually thinking to give up, because, Buster syndrome, I was thinking that I'm low and I don't know how to do things. So I was thinking maybe like, it's not for me, you know, even though it has nothing to do with me, I just lack something, you know, there is something missing and I don't know about it. So I posted in the FreeCodeCamp forum about it. So I literally said like, I am done. I'm about to give up. And I don't know what to do next. I have no idea. And people there were very supportive, you know. Thanks for them, by the way. They were very supportive. And they told me, like, you just need the document objects model, DOM. So you can, like, for manipulating, like, the HTML documents and the browser document and so on. So and why I'm telling you this story is because at that same trade, Jessica told me about Virtual Coffee. And when I joined Virtual Coffee after that directly, like you were doing the Hacktoberfest like challenge. And from there, I got some energy. I did something, and like I was, I'm able to do this. I can do this. So back to the Hacktoberfest story. So for Hacktoberfest, I had a mentor assigned, Justin. He was pretty much helpful. He told me a lot of stuff about commits, how to fork, how to set up a stream. It was a lot of information. I do remember that. I was like, okay, this is exciting, you know, exciting and at the same time scary. Oh, I didn't know all of that. I didn't know anything. So yeah, he was like, he taught me all of that stuff and like give me some resources to search for open source projects. But the hardest part about that is finding issues. That was the, yeah. And that's another thing. So when you don't find issues, or you there are issues, but the most of them you don't know how to do them. So I got like frustrated again. So I don't like it's you think that it's you who don't know anything, but actually the tech industry is pretty like much bored. You know, there are a lot of stuff, there are a lot of things that you don't know, of course. After that, I was like searching for things that I know how to do. So I was searching for some issues. I found like some like small projects. They were also learners. They weren't like a big companies or anything. Maybe they were also learners or something like that. I found these small projects, like people that own that small projects, and I worked on small issues. For example, adding local storage to the app. It was something out of my comfort zone, but also like I know that I can do it. You know, so I did some of those issues, and I also did one maybe for virtual coffee or two. I can't remember. Yeah. But that actually boosts my like self-confidence, you know. I can do stuff, and that's what I was lucky in before when I was just by myself. Like every time I don't know how to do something, or I'm blaming myself, and that was like the darkest point. Yeah.
I think any developer who's been developing for an amount of time has gone through those times. I know I have a bunch of times over my career, and I'm glad. I just want to say thank you for sharing that, because it's good for people to hear, because especially when you are like a lot of us are at the beginning, kind of by yourselves and on your own, it can be hard to know that sort of thing is pretty common. I feel like that feeling of I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do anything, you know, is unfortunately, I guess, part of this like world, as far as I can tell. And from my own experience and my experience of most of my friends, it's like you just come across those times, you know, and I think it's a sign, honestly, it's a sign that you're pushing yourself, you know, and trying to learn more. And I think it's in general a good sign, although it's not ever fun when you're in the middle of it. I think it's a good sign, because it means you're learning, right? And you're trying things that you don't know necessarily how to do at the beginning. And that's something that by myself I've run into, as well as I realized that I'm just like have been very comfortable for a long time, you know, and just doing the same things. And some of it is a little bit boring, but or like there's a little bit of boredom that sits in, but it's mostly just this sense. Again, it's that sense, you know, that you were talking about, where you know that there's something out there that you probably could be doing better, or probably could be doing differently, or anything like that. And for me, it kind of creeps up on me. But then once you start like stretching out again, you run the risk of running into those feelings again. So it's a never ending cycle, you know. But I think it's a healthy one in general. And I think it sounds like the ways that you've gotten through it are good and healthy ways, you know, to do it. You know, finding communities and finding people to work with, and I don't know, everything like that.
Finding aspiration also, like there are some people in communities like that. They just inspire you, and you wanna like be like them, you know. That keeps you like to push yourself like harder and just to not give up. Yep.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, so I want to move forward just a little bit on this journey, because I know that there's so you did Free Code Camp, you did Collab Lab, and then you're interviewing for jobs. At what point did you decide I'm ready to interview for a role, and then what did that journey look like?
If I didn't join Virtual Coffee again, I would never apply for jobs, I think. I remember my first like coffee shop was about I asked a question about this, about when you are ready to apply for jobs. And someone told me yesterday, and I that clicked, you know. So you just need to apply. You will never feel ready. It's again, I'm imposter syndrome. Again, you will never feel that you are ready. You will never feel that you know enough to apply for a job. So yeah, I think after like free good camp directly, like not directly, but after finishing some React projects, after I had some React knowledge, I started applying for jobs. That's also was a pretty much hard. It was like the worst period, I think. Again, with frustration, and whenever you get a rejection, I blame myself. I take it personally, you know. Yeah. So whenever I get rejection, I just like drop everything for 2 days. 2-3 days, I just drop everything and do nothing because it was like hard on me, you know. Because you kind of, you don't know if the path you choose is correct, you know. There is this doubt about will you ever be able to do it, you know. There is also like the society like pressure, you know. You are like without a job, you studied and you are doing nothing. It's not nothing. You are actually like studying another thing. But what there is always that question: what if I failed? You know, and rejections always remind me of failing. You know, of the end. If it wasn't like the right path. If all what I was doing is just how I can say it. I guess you got me.
Oh, I definitely get that. And when I was laid off earlier this year, that it was such a weird space to be in. I'd never been laid off before. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I should just not be in tech. Like, maybe this isn't for me, you know? And it really messes with your head, I think, when you start to second guess yourself and you feel that rejection in some way, whether or not, you know, I went through layoffs. They said it was restructuring or whatever. So there was nothing that implied like you did a bad job, so you got fired, right? Or maybe the pandemic hits and you lose your job for a little while. But it, no matter what, all of those things still feel, you don't feel good. And they make you question, like, is this the right place for me? And so can you talk a little bit more about how you've navigated those frustrations? Because I know it's really hard out there for job seekers now, especially for folks looking for their first job in tech.
Yeah, sure. I mainly was like taking rest, as I said before. Like, I don't know if this is really the good way to go, but I was doing that. I was taking rest for a day, for 2 days, I just don't do anything, just to get to myself, you know. Because trying to learn new things or trying to prepare your resume or your cover letter or whatever you are doing for the job hunting while you are in a bad state of mind, when you are like so frustrated, it will just make it worse, you know. And I even did experience that. So, for example, if I got a rejection and I tried to apply for another job like the same day or something like that, I find myself for example, if I try to apply to a job, I will just like look and they will say, okay, I am unqualified, you know, I'm not good for applying for this. So that rejection will affect you. So what I was doing is just like resting a little bit, maybe try to focus on learning new things. That's it mainly, and I will try to come up with something else. I can't think of any right now.
I love that. I think that it can be really hard to take a rest, and then what you do is just burn yourself out during the job search. And that idea of learning something new, I think, is really good because you also start to feel like stagnant when all you're doing is applying for jobs, and so you're not learning, and there's I don't want to say a balance because I don't know that there can be balance when you're interviewing for a role, but it helps to keep your morale up, I think, a little bit when you can see like, hey, I did this thing today and now I know something new versus I did these interviews today and I didn't get a job, which feels bad. So you got to like fill up that win bucket a little bit somehow. And it's often not going to be through interviewing.
Yeah. I was also like in the meanwhile, like preparing for quizzes, for interview questions. I think that the hardest part in this part of the journey is to, as you said, is to have a balance between learning and applying for roles and like studying for interviews. It's just a mess. But one thing also that helps me is the community again. So being inside community, you see that there are a lot of people like you, you know. And the moment they got their first job or they got when they get their like their dream job or whatever, it's like kind of a motivation to you. So again, finding a community is like what's the key.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And so how did you end up landing the job that you're currently at now?
Yeah, I consider myself like lucky, I guess. So I didn't actually apply for the job I am currently at right now. So they find me through GitHub. They put like a query search there. So, you know, GitHub have this query search, you know, so you can put queries and you can like search for some criteria, you know. And I was lucky that I was part of those people. So they contact me on LinkedIn. I was lucky that I was part of the result of the search. Yeah. So they contact me like on LinkedIn and they said, hi, we find your profile interesting and we would like to talk about the, yeah. So I said, okay, we can talk. We like schedule like a meeting. I thought it was just a meeting to talk about like how things will go, you know, what they are looking for, what they are and so on. But it turns out like it's an interview. And yeah, but it was pretty much smooth. They were like cool people. It was pretty much smooth because when I asked how like they choose me, actually they said like they went through the code, actually, you know, they went through my code, they went through my projects. So I think that the process of hiring is the main cause why I am where I am right now. Yeah, so it may not be the case for everyone. But just put yourself out there, you know, if you have any project, even if they are small or if they are like really not that interesting. I don't want to say that they are not interesting, but just put your projects out there. Put them on Twitter, GitHub, everywhere. And yeah, that's it. So anyway, sorry.
Don't be sorry.
Yeah. So after the interview, they actually like just sent me the offer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty. So it was kind of like the moment they contacted me, they already made their mind that they're gonna hire me. So it was just about if I say yes or no. So yeah.
That's awesome. Is it a company in your country?
Yeah, it's in my country, but it's remote. It's 100% remote. So yeah, it was actually too good to be true. So
I don't like the idea of a surprise interview, because then you're not really nervous if you just think that you're going in to talk to them and then they're like, oh, surprise interview. And you're like, well, I didn't have the last 3 days to panic. So I guess here I am. Like,
yeah. but it wasn't any hard, you know, it was more of a discussion than an interview, you know, but it was like the first and the final. So it was pretty much good, because I had previously had some pretty much bad experience with going through three interviews and in the end getting like rejected. So yeah.
And did you find like living in Morocco that the job search was even more challenging if you were looking for remote work?
It was more challenging for me because I didn't have a degree. You know, I didn't have a degree in computer science. I have a degree in biomechanics, but not in computer science. And in Morocco, it's kind of, I wasn't even applying for roles in Morocco because I thought it's impossible for me to get a job here. Wow. As most of companies, they are like asking for a degree, you know? And the funny thing is, during my interview with my current company, the first thing I said is, I don't have a degree. Just for information, I don't have a degree in computer science. But surprisingly, they said, like, what matters is talent and not like a piece of paper. And that was like, even if I didn't like get in the company, that was a boost for me. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's good to hear. I mean, that aligns, I think, with a lot of the people that I end up, you know, enjoying working for, right? The degrees are, I don't know, it almost seems silly sometimes. I mean, not that getting a degree is silly, but like the idea that in our field, a degree after 4 years, I feel like is going to be so out of date to be almost, not useless. Obviously, you're like in college, I think the important thing is to like learn how to learn, right? That's more, you know, but at the same time, somebody with a certain amount of experience is going to have the same, if not a better, you know, handle on all that stuff than somebody who just went to college, you know.
That's a good point because the current company, like, they told me that they interview like people with degrees and like engineers, you know, like before me. But the only difference is I had projects. I had like I know how to search for information and how I know how to learn by myself. Yeah, and like one of the plus for me is that I was a self-taught developer. So they know like they won't need it's just a sign that you can learn by yourself, you know.
Yeah, 100% with that. I mean that's always going to be a point in your favor in my book. As a self-taught developer myself, you know, but I understand like what the struggles are and like how much it takes to continue through that process, you know, and that career. And so I was just glad to hear that, you know, you found a place that respects that sort of
thing.
Thank
you. Thank you.
It's not always, you know, it's not everybody's going to feel the same way. And I don't know. It's nice to hear when that sort of thing works out well, like it has in your case.
Yeah.
Well, Reda, we want to thank you for being here with us today. Are there any last words of advice that you have for our listeners about their job search or being self-taught?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I know like the situation in the US, I don't know if it's in all the world, but it's pretty much tough with all the layoffs happening, the layoffs happening. So yeah, stay strong and you can do it. Yeah.
Like it. All right. Well, cool. Well, thank you, Reda, for joining us so much. And we will catch everybody next week. All right. Thanks, Reda.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Virtual Coffee Podcast. This episode was produced by Dan Ott and Becca Harrell-Weigel and edited by Ashley Mulder. If you have questions or comments, you can hit us up on Twitter at virtualcoffee.io or email us at podcast@virtualcoffee.io. You can find the show notes, sign up for the newsletter, buy some VC merch, and check out all of our other resources on our website, virtualcoffee.io. If you're interested in sponsoring Virtual Coffee, you can find out more information on our website at virtualcoffee.io/sponsorship. Please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to leave us a review. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.